good morning. I want to welcome you again to One Life Church. Just a couple things, and then we'll jump into the message. If you're here for the first time and or you have a prayer request, if you want to fill out the card in the seat back in front of you and then drop that in one of the two giving boxes that are back in the back. Giving boxes are how we do offering around here. You probably know if you've been to church many times or been to many churches, right? You know that we sing a few songs and then we have halftime, right? We have offering time, which is kind of, we play some quiet music and then we all pass the plates. But we decided to move past that and instead we're doing giving boxes. And I love the giving boxes because the giving boxes are an opportunity for you to just give freely as the Lord leads you, to give cheerfully as God opens your heart and as you believe in what we're doing, rather than because someone's looking over your shoulder and kind of keeping an eye on you, right? Like, you need so-and-so to see me put the money in here. The only downfall that I know of with those is that you can't make change. Have you guys, you noticed that? You can't make change. So it's like you're just going to have to put in the whole 20. You know what I mean? So that's what we are doing there. So if you'll join me, I want to read the scripture today, and then we're going to pray. I want to just pray together as a group, as a congregation, because, you know, I know in life we have a lot of pain, a lot of hurts, a lot of struggles, and I know that fall brings all kinds of different emotions into us. I know you don't know what's going on. I can't begin to assume I know what's going on in all of your lives, and I know that there's pain and sickness, but I also know that there are joys, and there are things that we're celebrating and blessings that we have, where God is clearly moving in our lives, in our families, in our personal lives, and in the life of the church. So we want to pray for all of those things here in 1 minute. But first, I want to read the scripture that we're going to work off of today. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to do verses 11 through 22. If you don't have a Bible or you'd like to have one or a new one, we always have Bibles in the tool crib that you can just grab and take with you. The tool crib is kind of our cross between bookstore and library, but it's free/donation, so just help yourself to the tool crib. I love seeing the tool crib get used. It's also where we have any shirts that we've designed over the years that you see a lot of people wearing. That's where you can get those shirts as well, so please take advantage of that. But if you follow along with me, the book of Ephesians is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, starting in chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. You were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made with them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are in his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." Amen. Gentile simply means non-Jew, someone who's not of Jewish heritage or religion. Won't you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, I know that in this room there are a lot of different places. There are a lot of different states of mind. There are a lot of different places spiritually where people are, some people are at this place where they're, you know, maybe you've been to church all your life, or maybe you've been to church here and there, or maybe you've been to church just a couple times ever, and they have all these questions and all these doubts and all these, I'm not really sure. And then we also have people in this room, Lord, that I know have been walking with you for a long time. And God, I pray, Lord, that today that your spirit teaches us, that your spirit, no matter where each of us is at, will remind us of your love for us. Remind us that we belong in your arms and we belong in church, that we belong in the body of Christ. So God, any pain, any hurt, any sorrow, any sickness, Lord, we pray that that will no longer be present, Lord. We pray that healing will come. We pray that victory will come. And Lord, we also give you all the praise and all the glory for every blessing that we have in life, because Lord, we are a blessed people. And sometimes we just need to sit down and we just need to turn around and look at it and say, oh yeah, that's a gift from God. That's a gift from God. So we thank you so much, Lord, for life. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the gifts and the healings that will come. And Lord, we just ask that your spirit will be present here today, as we know you will, where we meet in the name of your son, Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I had an experience a few years back that I think you'll relate to, that fits well with what we just read and what I want to share with you today. When I was in college, I went to had a spring break that synchronized with my roommate, my best college friend. Our spring break synchronized with his best friend from his hometown. So we decided, hey, how about the three of us go on a trip together to Georgia to hike the Appalachian Trail for a few days? Terrible idea, first of all. I just want you to know that. Terrible idea. Our thought process was, let's go down to the beginning of the Appalachian Trail, because it can't be that steep in Georgia, right? I mean, that's the South. Like, you're getting close to Florida. Things are leveling out. There's swamps coming, you know. Like, it can't be that. Well, we get down there, and we found out that Georgia is where the Appalachian Trail gains a lot of its elevation. So we literally walked uphill for 3 days, and it was agonizing. I couldn't do it very well. But one thing that was happening on this trip is my friend and his friend had a mutual friend, my college roommate. When my college roommate and I would have conversations, we had those conversations from this context of, we had similar friends at college that we could talk about. We had similar experiences in college that we could talk about. We could tell stories. And when we did that, his friend from back home had no idea what was going on. He felt like an outsider. He felt like there was a conversation happening that he didn't know anything of. And if he had to ask questions, tell me more, like, if he wanted to be a part of it. Otherwise, he sat there in silence and just waited for something that he could talk about. And then it happened to me, because my friend, my roommate would have conversations with the other guy about life back home, about high school, and about people they knew from their church. And they'd have all these things in common and all these stories that they could tell. And I would just sit there with no clue what was going on, wondering, asking questions, or just ignoring them and moving on. But I really felt like there was a conversation going on that I couldn't be a part of. Have you been there? My three brothers and sisters, the four of us, three of us married local people, and one of us married my older brother married a girl from out of state. And I know when we get together as a family, we oftentimes have conversations about things, and even just talking about roads and areas, and that she has no idea what we're talking about. So she has to make a decision. I either ask a lot of questions, or I just sit here and have no clue what's going on. feeling like an outsider. Maybe for you that is going to a spouse's family reunion and they're talking about stories from 10, 20, 30 years ago. Maybe that's going to a spouse's high school reunion and having no clue what's going on. Maybe it's when you go to a new school. Maybe it's when you start a new job and you're sitting with people and they're talking about things from years ago that you don't know anything of. And these conversations are happening and you feel like you're missing something. Like it's happening around you, but you can't quite connect. I think we can agree that that's not any fun. I think we can agree that that's a tough place to be in, that it's a place where you kind of feel uncomfortable. There's a little bit of queasiness, a little bit of edginess. It's like, well, they're over here and I'm over here. But I want to be a part of it, but it just doesn't seem to feel right. No one enjoys that. No one enjoys being excluded, or no one enjoys feeling like they don't belong somewhere. It hurts. It's uneasy. So my question to you, whether you're here for the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, or you come every week, whether you've been in church for a year, 2 years, 3 years, or your entire life, or maybe you're like me and you went to church your entire life, then you took a little break and came back. A lot of us do that, right? But my question to you is, have you ever felt that way at church? Has church ever felt like that for you? Has there ever been a time when you think, you know, there's a conversation going on here that I'm not quite following? Or, you know, there's something here, something is happening in this room that everybody else seems to know what's going on. Everyone knows what's happening, and I don't really see it. Maybe this whole thing is for them, but not me. Or you hear things like NLT, NIV, ESV, NASB, and all these special codes like we put on the screen, and then you're like, huh? Or like we sing a song and it's like washed by blood. That doesn't. What do you mean? So like you dump blood over your head and now you're clean. That doesn't sound cleansing to me. Things like that just kind of don't make sense to you because you come in and then the preacher's up here talking and he's sharing all these stories and sharing all these words, these big ideas, and you're just completely like, what is happening? But then you look down the row and every other person is going, mm-hmm, amen, right? And you're thinking, well, they get it. The truth is they don't always get it, right? Some people just have that like habitual amen, like, right? You guys are like, I'm not admitting that today. Okay. Well, our passage today has a scripture that has something to say to you. Anyone that has ever felt like Christianity was for somebody else, or like church was for somebody else, or for Jesus works for you, but I don't think Jesus works for me. Or Jesus died on the cross for your sins, but you don't know my sins, right? Like, you know where I've been. I do, because I've been there, right? But you don't know, and I don't think Jesus' grace reaches quite as far down the row as you think it does. You know what I'm saying? You've been there. So today's message and today's scripture and what I want to show you and pull out of this for you today is if you're in this room, and I'm going to tell you, this is for people, period. This is for people. So today's message is for anyone in this room who was picked last on the playground. This message is for anyone who got a speeding ticket yesterday. This message is for anybody who has a history that they'd rather forget and leave behind. Anyone who is still paying the consequences for a poor decision that you made maybe years ago. This message is for anyone whose marriage is struggling, who's divorced, who maybe has kids right now that are out away and they're not speaking to you. This message is for anyone who is confused or filled with doubt or filled with worry or consumed by things that you can't control. It's for anybody who wakes up in the middle of the night and they're crying and you just can't stop the pain and the feeling and all the memories and all the regret and all the doubt and all the pain of somebody that you lost that you wish was still here so bad. This message is for that person. This message is for someone who's sick, someone who's become forgetful, someone who's grieving, for someone who's broke or addicted or lost in sexual sin. It's for anyone who is imperfect. It's for anyone who came to church today. Now, I know there are people here that feel this way because I have felt this way. It's anybody who came to church today and feels a little phony, feels a little fake. You kind of feel like an imposter and you look around and you're like, all these people are getting it right, and I'm missing something. I don't belong here. This message is for anybody who today or ever has stepped into a church and felt like they were on the outside looking in. This message that we see in the Bible is quite simply, you belong here. We belong here, because Jesus went to the cross for our sins. And if you're looking for perfect people, if you want us to be perfect, if you want us to do it right all the time, it's not going to happen, because we're all here saved by grace. Saved by grace. I walk to the pulpit week after week, and I can tell you there are weeks where I feel like an imposter. There are weeks where I feel like Satan is constantly reminding me that I'm unqualified, that I'm not the guy, that this isn't right. You don't have this, you don't have that. But the truth is, we're all here because we're forgiven. We've placed our faith in Christ Jesus. And that is how you belong. When you believe. But Satan is going to give you all these reasons, like I listed, and more, why you shouldn't be here, why you don't belong in any church. But the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar. See, God is calling you to himself, and the church is his chosen method of spreading his truth to the world. Now, I know that there are times when we in the church have made it appear as though Jesus is only for those who have it all together. Where we just kind of think, you know, somehow I earned my stature with God. I earned my position with God. God loves me because I go to church every week. God loves me because I stand up and I sing every week. God loves me because it's important to me that my kids grow up at church. God loves me because I stand up, because I read the Bible, because I stand up in front of church every week and read the Bible and try my best by God's help to tell you what it means. Like, God loves me more because of that. But the truth is that's not the case. See, Jesus loves us not because of what we do, not because of what we own, not because what we are earning, but he's building us up into something special and something fantastic in this Christ-like image of who he's called us to be. See, the truth is that we don't have it all together. We're forgiven, right? We are forgiven, and we are just as much a mess as any other person that you see, because we don't belong either without the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. It's the beauty, it's the level playing field of the church for all nations and all races and all ages. It's the beauty of that level playing field, that I can go on a mission trip to Guatemala or Haiti or Russia or Europe or New York City and find like-minded Christians that are worshiping who look and act nothing like me, but they believe in the God of the Bible. We belong in that capital C church. Jesus is calling us to say yes to him, and then he cleans up the mess so that God sees Jesus's purity, Jesus's perfection instead of my failure. But I know what it feels like to be on the outside. I know what it feels like to spend years away from church and then walk in and feel like everybody's looking at me and knows my mess. When you walk back into the same church that you've been gone from for years ago and you just think everyone's judging you. But the truth is, 99% of those people are just glad to see you, because 99% of those people have been where you are. But by God's grace, we belong here. Now, apparently there was something happening in the church in Ephesus. See, This is what they were dealing with. See, the Ephesus is, that's one of those words, right? So Ephesus is a first century city and church that the book of Ephesians was a letter written to by the apostle Paul. So for some reason, it seems that these people were feeling like they didn't belong. And you know what's happening here? This is a little different than what we deal with today. They felt like they didn't belong just because they weren't Jewish before they became Christians. See, that's a little different, but stick with me. See, Paul, writing this letter, starts the church. He plants the church, shares the message. Paul was a Jewish preacher, and he told them about Jesus, a Jewish Messiah. And while they had believed in Jesus, confessed their sins to Jesus, and were following Jesus, some of them still felt like outsiders. Because what's happening is they're having these, what's going on is these stories are being told. These illustrations are coming up in the weekly teachings that some of them maybe couldn't connect with. And all of these things made them feel like they didn't belong, like they were second-class citizens in the church just because, you know, maybe somebody comes in and he's connecting some prophetic dots from the Old Testament and they're like, wait a second, what's the Old Testament? I just heard about Jesus. What was happening before Jesus? And they felt like something was missing. But church, let's pause for a moment. What is Paul talking about when he says church? The capital C, church. So I'll give you two things that we usually connect church with. First of all, I mean, oftentimes what we think, you say, I'm going to get up Sunday morning, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church. So we go to church. We go to a building. We go to a place where people gather and sing some pretty songs, and then somebody gets up and rambles for a few minutes, and then we go home and we have a casserole, you know? Like, that's church. So that's what we see sometimes as church. But you may know that if you dive into Scripture, you find that church can often and probably many times should actually be translated as congregation. Or even the body of Christ, where it's all Christians everywhere. So church is you and me. Church is Christians getting together and worshiping God. The church is the people. So we go out into the community and we be the church. We be the church. Now, I think in this passage, though, Paul is using the word church in a different way, actually a broader way. And it's one of those weird things where when the translators bring it from Hebrew and Greek to English, there's just some English words that just don't do it justice. So a lot of times they just land on church because it fits. But here's what he says in verse 22 and 23. He says, "And he, God, put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." See that? So for Paul here, the church in this context, his definition of church is the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. That the church, when he talks about the body of capital C church, he says, church is the presence of God among us. Church is the fullness of Jesus. Church is a spiritual place that everyone is invited to and invited to participate in. Everyone, because Jesus went to the cross and he took our sins with him. And we can all be forgiven. But in the first century, when this letter was written, there's a clear divide that the Ephesians were caught up in. It's that division that I mentioned between Jewish and Gentile. It's the Jews who became Christians, and then the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who became Christians. And the Ephesians would have been identified as Gentile Christians. And while there doesn't seem to be any particular controversy that's ever mentioned, it seems clear that Paul sees the need to express to these Ephesian Christians that they belong just as much as anybody else. Stop getting caught up in your past. Stop getting caught up in your heritage. Stop getting caught up in, well, mom and dad didn't go to church. Grandma and grandpa didn't believe in Jesus. So I think sometimes we need to hear this. Because whether you come to church regularly or it's your first time in a while, it's easy to feel out of place. Trust me, I know what that's like. So let me remind you today, before we go eat chicken, you belong in church and you belong in God's kingdom just as much as anyone else in this room, including me. just as much as anybody else in any church in the entire world. I don't care. Name the race, name the nation, name the age. It doesn't matter. Any of us, we all belong, because when we feel like we don't have it all together, when we feel like life is rough and tough, and when we come in doubting God and doubting ourselves, you know, the truth is that we turn and we look at Jesus, just like that lady on the opening video that we showed, that instead of looking at your faults and assuming other people look at your faults, you can walk in and say, look down the row and say, I know what you're thinking. I know you know where I've been. I know you've seen me do this and that. I know you knew who I was in high school and you knew what I was like in high school. But you can walk in and you can just smile and say to yourself, I don't care what's in your head, because I live for an audience of one, and I know that I am forgiven and that I am pure and that I belong here. And if you're judging me for not looking like I belong here, then clearly maybe you don't belong here. So we have these tensions, right? That ultimately we live for Christ and we believe in the purity that we've received from him and the cleansing that we've received from him. So when we feel like we don't belong, we do belong because we're living for an audience of one. So just like these Christians in Ephesus, just because you may not have a Jewish heritage, or just because you may not know how to speak Christianese, or just because you don't know what I mean when I say ESV, NIV, NLT, and you're like, leave me alone, I don't know that yet. Just because you don't speak the language doesn't mean you can't have the Savior. Just because you don't know your Bible inside and out doesn't mean that you can't have Jesus. Because we're saved by faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by how much you know this book. Many men and women have gone to their grave and not entered into heaven, but known this book from cover to cover. Mark my words. You can learn this until your dying day, and that doesn't save you. It's all about faith in Christ. The work of Jesus welcomes us into the family. And in verse 19, Paul writes, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, I love how Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message version of the Bible. It simply says, you belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Does that not wake you up? Does that not look the devil in the eye and say, get back? I got my Jesus. You belong here with just as much right to the name Christian as anyone. By grace through faith, once you've bowed your knee to Jesus. See, there are times I have to confess that I feel like a Christian imposter. I feel like I have everybody fooled into thinking I'm this certain kind of person, and then I think that I'm not. But the good news is that Jesus came for people just like you and me. People with doubts and questions and fears and struggles and pains and worries, and just people that walk in and think, I don't know. If I ever darken the door of another church, I'm telling you it's going to cave in. I'm telling you it's going to cave in. Even the creator of the universe can't hold those pillars up if my sin walks in that door. No. We have to remember that God is the giver and the sustainer of life, and he can forgive all of us. So Jesus is drawing us to himself. And I think sometimes the struggles are pointing us back to him. Now, I wish I could answer the question, why does God allow struggling and pain in this world? And I think I can't give you a definitive answer to that. Nobody can. But I can tell you that in the pain that God allows, it's drawing us to him. He wants us to draw to him. See, Jesus died on the cross for every sin, all sin, even yours, that you're willing to confess to him. But if you don't give it to him, then you've made the choice to take it with you into eternity. And that's not his will for you. But you can have salvation as much as anyone else. You belong here in the capital C church. You belong in church. You belong in the arms of Jesus just as much as anyone, because you cannot earn it. You can only receive it. So don't let the devil lie to you about that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. How awesome is it to know that God loved me even when I was bad? Why don't you pray with me? The worship team is going to come up and lead us in one of my favorite songs that's on the radio right now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you love us even though we deserve none of it. Thank you so much that we belong because you see our mess. You know our mess. You know my sin. You know my ugliness. And you still look at me and say, here, have some forgiveness from my son Jesus. He took your sin to the cross. Thank you, Lord. May we never forget that. May we never forget that. In Jesus' name, amen.